Today's scripture reading is from Ruth chapter 1, verses 11 to 18. Naomi replied, "Turn back, my daughters. Why would you go with me? Will there again be sons in my womb that they would be husbands for you? Turn back, my daughters. Go. I am too old for a husband. If I were to say that I have hope, even if I had a husband tonight, and if I were to bear sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you refrain from having a husband? No, my daughters. This is more bitter for me than for you, since the Lord's will has come out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth stayed with her. Naomi said, "Look, your sister-in-law is returning to her people, to her gods. Turn back after her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to abandon you, to turn back from following after you. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do this to me, even if death separates us." When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her about it. Thanks be to God for the gift of Scripture. Amen.
Friends, before I begin the sermon, I want to give an invitation that I gave last week, and it's to those of you who are Asian American or Pacific Islanders. You know, one of the things we do here at Floris is we educate, advocate, and act, and especially around issues of systemic racism. And around the country, we've heard various reports of people that have been dealing with racism related to Asian American, Pacific Islander people. And so what I'd like to do is just have a meeting. I'd like to meet with you. This is not a wide open meeting. This is not a learning event. This is a possibility for me to hear from you so that I'll be in a better position to lead in the church. So if you're in those groups, and if you would be willing to meet with me, it'll be on Tuesday, May 11th at 7 p.m. It's going to be a Zoom call. There's a link in the bulletin today that I would appreciate very much if you'd click that and register, and I look forward to a conversation. Would you join me for a word of prayer? Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts would be acceptable to you, and especially on this day, on Mother's Day, when our country gives thanks for those who are in mothering roles and for all those who offer themselves for others. And so I pray that you would be with us and use the sermon to help us in our living through your inspiration. In Christ's name, amen. There's a word that's been on my mind. It's been on my mind for the past couple of weeks. And it is a word that, when it is lived out, is absolutely life-changing. People who live this word out, they're community changers, they're game changers in our world. We've seen it a lot over this past year. We've seen it in the news when they've shown us video of workers that are coming out of a hospital after the night shift, staff members, nurses, doctors, they're walking out bleary-eyed, tired, exhausted, and another shift is walking in. We've seen this word in the work of housekeepers and cooks and nursing homes. We've seen this word in some companies, and it's not that often, but in some companies, if you look from the very bottom to the very top of the org chart, it's obvious everybody has made a commitment to this word. But most of the time when we see this word lived out, it's not in a profession. Most of the time, it's in our day-to-day lives. It's in the lives of volunteers who are putting needed supplies in a car. It's in, or helping people in the community. You see it in friendships, when people show up for one another. This quality, this word, is at the hub of every good family interaction you've ever had in your entire life. I can make an argument that this word is amongst the most important words in the world. It is one of those essential words. I wonder, do you know the word? Have you guessed it? Dude, go ahead, just say your word out loud. Let's see if you get it right. The word I'm thinking of, the word is devotion. Devotion. We need to pay attention to devotion because it is so beautiful that to miss it, to miss that quality, to miss that word in action, would be to miss some of the most wonderful moments in life. Devotion has to do with love, loyalty, or enthusiasm for a person or an activity or a cause. We see devotion on the face of the man who sits again one morning with a dog-eared version of the Bible that he has opened day after day after day. Devotion. We hear it come out of the words of the chaplain who stands by freshly shoveled dirt in a cemetery saying, "Her courage and devotion to duty never wavered." Devotion. You know, one of the main reasons that we celebrate this day, today, now, you know what day it is, right? You put your card in the mail, didn't you? Friends, if you didn't put your card in the mail, it's okay. The phone lines are still open. You still have a chance. Just pick up that phone in a little while and make that call. One of the reasons we celebrate Mother's Day is the vast majority of women who are mothers live out that word, devotion. And you know what? We should pause. We should pause and notice that. We should pause and give thanks for that. She is 29 years old. It is 3 a.m. 3 a.m. when an hour earlier at 2 a.m. she woke up to the sound of a baby crying. And she thought to herself, oh, he's crying. He needs a mother's touch. She got up. She picked up that baby. He was kind of coughing. He might have a little fever. She swayed with the baby. She rocked the baby. An hour passed, 3 a.m. She tries to take the baby back to the crib. And you know, she just as she lowers the baby into the crib and she thinks he's going to sleep, lays the baby down, takes one step away. Oh, there it is, the crying. And she picks him back up. When she finally lays that baby down, it's 4 a.m. And now she lays and she is absolutely awake. She's laying there because now she's worried. She's worried. Is he going to be okay? Is he all right? Same street, four doors down, there's another house. There's a woman. She's also a mother. She's laying in bed. She's 85 years old. She's awake at the same time that the younger mother is awake. She's awake, staring at the ceiling, doing the same thing she's doing, and she's laying there because earlier today she had a phone call with her daughter, and her daughter was upset. Something about work. She's not even sure what it was, but now this woman is laying awake thinking, oh, I'm just so worried. She loves her daughter so. I wonder how I can help. It's devotion. It's devotion. Devotion makes all the difference in the world. Motherhood, Mother's Day, it's really all about devotion. When someone shows you devotion, doesn't it just make all the difference in your life? And it's also true that when you show devotion, it makes all the difference in your life. That's how important devotion is. When you are devoted, you stick, you stay, you're present. You go through ups and downs. You go through ins and outs. You go through thick and thin. And devotion is the thing that keeps us rooted because devotion is related to some other important words. Words like persistence, patience, love. You see, the difference between cheap love and deep love, it's devotion. And that's why responding with devotion is one of the most important things that we can do in life. Devotion, you see, is biblical. It's biblical. It's a way of being that is incredibly important to the people of God. The Bible demonstrates that if you read the whole scope of the Bible, it demonstrates God is the most devoted being in the world. You talk about not giving up. You talk about thick and thin. Read the scripture and notice the one strand that just weaves throughout the whole thing. God's devotion to you and to me. That's how important it is. And that may be why. That may be why the book of Ruth made it into the Bible. Because I'll tell you, when I think about the book of Ruth, I'm not even sure why it's there. Four chapters. There's no big history. There are no commandments. There's no poetry. There's no wisdom literature. It's just there. And so we have to ask, how did that make the cut? Why did God inspire them to leave this one in? You know what I think? The book of Ruth is a story of devotion. Now, there is a mother whose name is Naomi. She's a widow. She has two sons. And these two sons live near the land of the Moabites. That's where their father went. That's where, I don't know if they grew up there. They were Israelites, but they lived near the land of Moab. And in the land of Moab, they took up two wives, two women. There was Orpah and there was Ruth. And the brothers married these two women. And when those two women came into their clan, they had to leave behind their customs. They had to leave behind their traditions. And they had to become women of Israel. The God of Israel had to become their God. That was the most important thing. And so, as the days went on, tragedy struck again. Before this, everybody was happy. Naomi was happy. The daughter-in-laws were happy, the sons were happy, but then tragedy struck again. And the tragedy was that the sons died. Well, when the sons died, Naomi knew what she was going to have to do. She was going to have to leave that place, and she was going to have to go back to Israel, and she's going to have to go back to a place called Bethlehem. That's where she and her husband were from originally. And she had to go back because in this time, women could not own land. They weren't allowed to. They couldn't hold crops and you know, sell things. And so she knew without these sons, she was going to have to go back. And so she looked at her daughter-in-laws and she said to them, listen, I can't do anything. I don't have a husband. I don't have any more sons for you to take you on as their wives. And so the only thing that makes sense is you all have to go back to your homes and I'm going to have to go back to my homes. And they loved each other so that they were so sad. And the scripture says in verse 14, at this time, they wept aloud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. Look, said Naomi, your sister-in-law is going back to her people and to her gods. Go with her. Now, these two women make two very different decisions. Orpah, her decision is perfectly logical. No one would question what Orpah did. And Ruth, she is perfectly devoted, and everybody has got to wonder what she's thinking. Devotion looks like that sometimes. Other people look in on it and they wonder, what are you thinking? Ruth offers this beautiful statement of devotion, and I'll tell you, this is a time when I would encourage you, read this statement in the King James Version. Because it's just so beautiful. Ruth says, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people and thy God, my God. And here's the thing about devotion. It keeps you in place. It keeps you in place. All Ruth and Naomi wanted was a sense of family again. What they wanted was what people always want. They wanted love. They wanted a sense of security. They wanted a life that was dependable. They weren't asking for everything here. They just wanted the things that people normally wanted. They wanted, in a word, devotion. I wonder over the years how many times a mother or a grandmother has spoken to me about some hard time in their family. I mean, over these years, you know, mothers have talked to me about children who have drug addictions, children who are depressed, children dealing with anxiety, children or grandchildren who are in jail. And when I hear those stories, I often ask the mother, so what are you going to do with that? How are you going to handle that? And quite often, the answer, paraphrased, is this: I think I'm just going to love them the best I know how in ways that will help them. And what I always see, what I glimpse in those moments, is just that beauty of devotion. And friends, devotion in the good times, it's wonderful. I mean, it's wonderful when your son or your daughter brings home the A paper. It's wonderful when the soccer trophy is placed on the kitchen table. It's wonderful when they graduate. It's just wonderful when things are wonderful. That's devotion too. But devotion when things are hard, it keeps you in place. It allows you to stick with people. It allows you to stick with them long enough until things get better. It allows you to stick with people even if things don't get better. It's devotion. Ruth stuck with Naomi. She stuck with her. The two of them went back to Bethlehem. Naomi was so sullen over the loss of her husband and the loss of her children, or of her sons, and the loss of Orpah, and then the having to come back. She was so sullen about all that, they called her Mara, which in that language meant the bitter one. Can you imagine having that nickname? And friends, bitter people are not fun people. But Ruth was devoted. Ruth cared for her mother-in-law. She cared for her in her loneliness. She cared for her in their mutual poverty. She made sure that her mother-in-law was tended to. In fact, she cared for her just like she was her own mother, which is culturally how she would have considered her. And you know, devotion, word gets around. And so Ruth, because she had no land and no field and no crop, Ruth went out into the grain fields and she gleaned bits of grain. Just think about how grain is. It's so small. She had to glean these little bits of grain off the ground that the field workers had left as they gathered up all the grain. And as she was gathering out in the field, there was a man on the other side of the field, and he made inquiries. He said, Who is that woman over there? I don't know her. And the other workers in the field, one of them must have said, well, that's Ruth, and she's the one taking care of Naomi. And Naomi, you know, you remember Naomi, you know. And Boaz put all this together, and he walked over and approached Ruth, and he said this to her: I have been told about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and your mother and your homeland, and you came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for all that you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Friends, what's he noticing here? He's noticing the devotion. I mean, you notice it, don't you? When you see it in somebody else, somebody who's serving someone else, somebody who's caring for someone else, it's just so beautiful that it's hard to miss. And it should have its day. It should be celebrated. It should be enjoyed, no matter where we see it and in whose life we see it. And then things got better for Ruth, and they got better for Naomi. Boaz allowed Ruth to glean his fields. He told the workers, leave the extra stalks, just leave something for her. Boaz was an answer to prayer. He blessed this Moabite woman, this immigrant to Israel, with his kindness and with his generosity, because he could see Ruth's devotion was of God. It was something God had done in her life. Eventually, Boaz would propose to Ruth. They would be married. Naomi would have Boaz as her son. And then months and months later, Ruth would have a son with Boaz. And they would have a family. And they together would be devoted to one another. they would find that joy of devotion. And Ruth shows us that devotion finds a way. It always finds a way. In her devotion, Ruth stuck with God, stuck with Naomi, took the long road to Bethlehem, and made a life, because that is what devotion does. And it doesn't matter who's doing it. It's what it always does. You know, in his book, Road to Character, David Brooks talks about this. And I'm going to read you a quote from Brooks. He's talking about virtuous, devoted people. And he writes this: they radiate a sort of moral joy. They answer softly when challenged harshly. They're silent when they're unfairly abused. They're often dignified when others try to humiliate them. They're restrained when others try to provoke them, but they get things done. They perform acts of sacrificial service with the same modest, everyday spirit they would display if they were just getting groceries. They are not thinking about what impressive work they're doing. They're not thinking about themselves at all. They just seem delighted by the flawed people around them. They just recognize the needs that need doing, and they do them. You are that person. You are that person. Or you could be that person. I mean, it's all about devotion. And devotion is not a spiritual gift. It is not a personality trait. Devotion is a choice we make. Devotion produces what we could never imagine. And that's what I want to encourage you with this morning, because I think you probably are a person who's devoted. And you may think it doesn't matter, and you may think it's not appreciated, and you may think nobody notices. But what I want you to know is it has an effect that you can't even imagine. That was true for Ruth. You see, if you mark out the genealogy of Ruth and you look downstream from where Ruth stood, there is a young boy who is a shepherd, the youngest son of the weakest clan, of the weakest tribe, and his name is David. And that boy will grow up and he will become King David, and he will unite all the tribes of Israel for the first time, and for the first time, they will enjoy security because David was devoted. And if you look even further downstream from Ruth and her devotion, you'll see another woman. You'll see a woman, and her name is Mary. And she and her husband also took a long journey to Bethlehem. And the Gospel of Matthew tells us that it was Mary who had a son, and you know his name. His name was Jesus. And all that gets traced back to Ruth. It's a story of devotion. The Bible. It's a story of devotion. Your life is a story of what you were devoted to, of who you were devoted to, and of what difference that made. Oh, how I wish every day we could get up and know that we had made the difference. But life's just not like that, is it? We believe that when we do the things that God asks us to do, when we are devoted to the right things, we put a ripple on the water, never knowing all the good it produces in the right time. I wonder if I could pray for you. Lord, I want to pray for all those who are participating in the service now. And I want to pray that they would be thinking about their devotion. Who are they devoted to? What are they devoted to? And Lord, I pray that they could feel the applause of heaven, the appreciation for who they are and how they live their life. And I pray on this day that they would know that devotion matters. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.